A reverie, moments the mightiest pass uncalendered, and when the absolute and backward time out gave the deedful word whereby all life is stirred. Let one be born, and throne whose mold shall constitute the norm of every royal reckoned attribute, no mortal knew or heard. But in due days the purposed life outshone serene, sagacious, free, her waxing seasons bloomed with deeds well done, and the world's heart was won. Yet may the deed of hers most bright in eyes to belie it from ours, as in the all one's thought lay she till ripening years have run. Sunday night, 27th January 1901. Embarkation, Southampton Docks. October, 1899. Here, where Vespasian's legions struck the sands, and Cerdic with his Saxons entered in, and Henry's army leapt afloat to win convincing triumphs over neighbor lands, vaster battalions press for further strands, to argue in the self-same bloody mode which this late age of thought, and pact, and code, still fails to mend. Now deckward tramp the bands, yellow as autumn leaves, alive as spring, and as each host draws out upon the sea beyond which lies the tragical to be, none dubious of the cause, none murmuring, wives, sisters, parents, wave white hands and smile, as if they knew, not that they weep the while. Departure, Southampton Docks. October, 1899. While the far farewell music thins and fails, and the broad bottoms rip the bearing brine all smalling slowly to the gray sea line, and each significant red smoke shaft pales, keen sense of severance everywhere prevails, which shapes the late long tramp of mounting men to seeming words, that ask and ask again. How long, O striving Teutons, Slavs, and Gaels, must your wrath reasonings trade on lives like these, that are as puppets in a playing hand? When shall the saner softer polities whereof we dream, have play in each proud land, and patriotism, grown godlike, scorn to stand bondslave to realms, but circle earth and seas? The Colonel's Soliloquy, Southampton Docks. October, 1899. The quaver seeds. Hurrah! Ahead we go, it's true I've been accustomed now to home, and joints get rusty, and one's limbs may grow more fit to rest than roam. But I can stand as yet fair stress and strain, there's not a little steel beneath the rust, my years mount somewhat, but here's Todd again, and if I fall, I must. God knows that for myself I've scanty care. Past scrimmages have proved as much to all. In eastern lands and south I've had my share both of the blade and ball. And where those villains ripped me in the flitch with their old iron in my early time, I mapped a change of wind to feel a twitch, or at a change of clime. And what my mirror shows me in the morning has more of blotch and wrinkle than of bloom. My eyes too, heretofore all glasses scorning, have just a touch of room. Now sounds the girl I've left behind me, apostrophe ah, the years, the ardors, wakened by that tune. Time was when, with the crowd's farewell hurrah, apostrophe twould lift me to the moon. But now it's late to leave behind me one who, if, poor soul, her man goes underground, will not recover as she might have done in days when hopes abound. She's waving from the wharfside, palely grieving, as down we draw. Her tears make little show, yet now she suffers more than at my leaving some 20 years ago. I pray those left at home will care for her. I shall come back, I have before, though when the girl you leave behind you is a grandmother, things may not be as then. The Going of the Battery Wives Lament, November 2, 1899. It was sad enough, weak enough, mad enough light in their loving as soldiers can be first to risk choosing them, leave alone losing them now, in far battle, beyond the South Sea. Two, rain came down drenchingly, but we unblenchingly trudged on beside them through murk and through mire, they stepping steadily only too readily, scarce as if stepping brought parting time nigher. Three, great guns were gleaming there, living things seeming there, cloaked in their tar cloths, up mouth to the night, wheels wet and yellow from axle to fellow, throats blank of sound, but prophetic to sight. IV, gas glimmers drearily, blearily, eerily lit our pale faces outstretched for one kiss, while we stood pressed to them, with a last quest to them, not to court perils that honor could miss. V, sharp were those sighs of ours, blinded these eyes of ours, when at last moved away under the arch all we loved. Eight for them each woman prayed for them, treading back slowly the track of their march. Vi, someone said. Evermore will they come. Evermore are they now lost to us. Oh, it was wrong. Though may be hard their ways, some hand will guard their ways, bear them through safely, in brief time or long. Vi, yet, voices haunting us, daunting us, taunting us, hint in the night time, when life beats our low other and graver things. Dot dot hold we to braver things, wait we, in trust, what time's fullness shall show. At the War Office, London, affixing the lists of killed and wounded. December, 1899. Last year I called this world of gain-givings the darkest thinkable, and questioned sadly, if my own land could heave its pulse less gladly, so charged it seemed with circumstance, whence springs the tragedy of things. Too, yet at that censured time no heart was rent or feature blanched of parent, wife, or daughter by hourly blazoned sheets of listed slaughter. Death waited nature's wont, peace smiled unshent from Indiana to Occident. A Christmas ghost story. South of the line, inland from far Durban, a moldering soldier lies your countryman. Orion doubled up are his gray bones, and on the breeze his puzzled phantom moans nightly to clear canopus. Would know by whom and, when the all-earth gladdening law of peace, brought in by that man crucified, was ruled to be inept, and set aside? And what of logic, or of truth appears, attacking anno domini to the years? Near 2000 live and thus have hide, but tarries yet the cause for which he died. Christmas Eve, 1899. The dead drummer, they throw in drummer Hodge, to rest uncoffined just as found. His landmark is a Copt crest that breaks the veldt around, and foreign constellations west each night above his mound. Too, young Hodge the drummer never knew fresh from his Wessex home the meaning of the broad Karoo, the bush, the moldy loam, and why uprose to nightly view strange stars amid the gloam. Three, yet portion of that unknown plain will Hodge forever be, his homely northern breast and brain grow up a southern tree. And strange-eyed constellations reign his stars eternally. A wife in London, December, 1899. The tragedy, she sits in the tawny vapor that the city lanes have uprolled, behind whose webby fold on fold like a waning taper the street lamp glimmers cold. A messenger's knock cracks smartly, flash news is in her hand of meaning it dazes to understand, though shaped so shortly. He has fallen in the far south land. Dot dot, to the irony, tis the morrow, the fog hangs thicker, the postman nears and goes. A letter is brought whose lines disclose by the firelight flicker his hand, whom the worm now knows. Fresh firm penned in highest feather page full of his hoped return, and of home planned jaunts by break, and burn in the summer weather, and of new love, that they would learn. The souls of the slain, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.